Today's gospel lesson starts off with a question put to Jesus by the Sadducees who do not believe in the resurrection. It's part of a series of questions where people, religious authority type people, are questioning Jesus and testing him to try to trip him up, to try to prove that he's not as smart as everybody thinks he is. The question they ask about, a woman marries a brother, and the seven brothers all die, and they all marry this woman, and who will she be married to in the resurrection? It's a stupid question, right? Like, it's meant to be absurd. Like, the original askers of this question are like, ha-ha! And Jesus does not have time for this garbage. Stop. Shut up. Waste of time. It is. It's a waste of time. The only part of the content of this that I will just say, and if you're a Bible study, you maybe heard a bit more from me about it, and I'm not going to get into it at all now, but I will just say that this is one of the many, many times in the Bible that reminds us that if you ever hear anybody use the phrase biblical definition of marriage, you know that everything that person says is nonsense, and you can completely ignore them, because that is obviously ridiculous. Because let's look at the biblical definition of marriage right here and 20 other places in the Bible where it looks nothing like what marriage looks like for us now. So, that's enough about that. That's just how stupid the question is. Similar to how stupid that phrase is in our society today. So anyway, Jesus doesn't care about this question. He doesn't care about this nonsense. Jesus cares about actual people and how actual things matter in their actual lives. Jesus doesn't care about this, like, how many angels dancing on the head of a pin style nonsense question, right? Jesus wins this argument. That's what's really strange here. Jesus wins this argument by asserting that God is the God of the living. After the next verse, the lectionary cuts it off for some reason, but the next verse it says this in our lesson. Then some of the scribes answered, "Teacher, you have spoken well." For they no longer dared to ask him another question. And that's important to know. Like, Jesus convinced some of the people he was talking to, because all these people have been asking him questions, and they're like, all right, fine, you win. We're not going to ask any more clever gotcha questions. It's not going to work. Jesus is too smart for that. So he convinced some of them. He actually won this argument in public with these people. Yeah, what does that mean? So what does it mean when Jesus says that God is the God of the living? And here's what I want to say about that. In one of the commentaries I read this week by Emerson Powery, who's a professor and a teacher and a preacher, Emerson Powery asked this question. It says, when our theology fails to touch human bodies, when theology becomes disembodied, what difference does it make? I think the question that the Sadducees asked Jesus is a disembodied question. It's purely hypothetical. It's ridiculous on its face. It's about people only as, you know, characters in this little story. They don't matter at all, right? That's the whole idea of the question they ask. Theology is how we think about God and how we talk about God. And if we're thinking about God and talking about God, bodies matter. You know how we know bodies matter when we're talking about God? It's the Sunday school answer. Because Jesus. That's how we know. Because when Jesus came to this world, he didn't come here as a magical spirit. Jesus didn't come as like a force of nature. Jesus came as a person. Jesus was born, right, a baby, born of Mary, right? An actual baby. An actual human. Jesus at some point was a toddler. And blessedly, today we have not experienced so far in worship the challenges of having a toddler around, right? The only toddler here now has been really like remarkably well behaved. I'm gonna go ahead and taunt fate. I don't believe in fate by saying that that's a really well behaved toddler. But if we had a screaming, wailing toddler in here, you would all know that body. And Jesus was one of those at one point. Can you imagine? Now probably Jesus acted like this kid and just like minded his business and like did his coloring and played on his tablet or whatever. But but Jesus was a real person, like an actual person. I mean, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It makes all the difference for us because we too are actual people. And in Jesus,
Jesus sort of was God and was human, and Jesus, we say Jesus is fully human and fully divine, and both of those things fully matter. Can you imagine God becoming like us, an actual person with actual like aches and pains and calluses on his feet and like something in his hair? And right? Jesus was an actual person. It blows my mind every time I sit down and really think about it. That God would be like us. That God could just do whatever. All powerful and whatever. That's why I don't use phrases like all powerful and all whatever. All those sort of, you know, Greek philosophical terms that we use. Because God became a person. And that matters. And that's what matters to Jesus. And that's why this question from the Sadducees, stop it. God is the God of the living. And the living have real bodies, real aches and pains, and real joys and sorrows, and real relationships, and real feelings, and real limitations. That's what it means to be alive. And to recognize those limitations, and to do our best with them, to go beyond them, to, I don't know, beat Penn State at football or whatever, things that nobody thought was possible, right? That's what it means to be a human, to be a real person. In Christian history, in the history of the Christian church, so often we have failed to recognize the importance of bodies. So often we've become a head religion, right? Like a brain, like a mental religion. As Protestants, we've often thought, oh, if you believe the right things, if you think the right things, then you're a good Christian. Well, come on now. I mean, that doesn't matter. Believing the right things and thinking the right things is very valuable. But it's far from the whole picture of what it is to follow Jesus. Following Jesus, living a life in relationship with God, is something we do with our whole bodies, with our whole selves. Jesus lived a person and died a person. As an actual, like, bloody... I never watched that Mel Gibson movie. I think that's just gross. I was trying to make some weird political point I wasn't interested in. So I didn't watch that movie. But the fact is, Jesus actually did die like a person. And it hurt. Jesus didn't like it. It wasn't just this like this fake show where Jesus is just like a spirit inhabiting this fake plastic body that didn't matter. Right? Jesus was not like a Ken doll or whatever. Jesus is an actual person. It actually hurt. And Jesus actually died. And that matters too. That matters for us. As Paul wrote it in Romans, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Because that's the thing about Jesus being alive, being a real person, having really lived and really died, is that God brought Jesus back to life. And you remember the story of John where Jesus was like, "Put your hand in my side and like poke me, see if I'm real." And Jesus was real. Like Jesus' actual body actually was resurrected. Jesus' whole self. God made stronger than death. Even death couldn't stop God from loving Jesus and from loving all of us. And so if Jesus was resurrected, then we too have been promised resurrection. What really makes a big difference to me, I've always been skeptical of religions, right? I mean, Christianity or any other religion. I was raised Catholic, which functionally for me meant that I was raised to distrust most of what the church said, because there's a lot of shady business. Well, kind of, yeah, but the thing is, like most good Catholics, I know that the Catholics have bigger problems than just about anybody else. What I think is like a healthy skepticism, right? Just because somebody's supposed to be in charge and they tell you something, that doesn't make it true, right? That's not how life works. But what really made a difference for me is getting this actually like, if Jesus really was God and really was a person and actually lived like a person and laughed like a person and suffered like a person, and got annoyed like a person. That makes a huge difference. Because if Jesus loves us enough to be like us, and if God loves us enough to make Jesus be like us, then God is going to give us this same gift that Jesus received, this gift, this resurrection, this new life, this sense that God really is stronger, even than death, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In church every week, one of the ways that we do this, and it gets a little fuzzy, sometimes we stray from the point, is the sacrament of Holy Communion, right? The sacrament of Holy Communion. It's this actual physical thing, this actual bread and wine, a real thing, and I like to use real bread instead of wafers. And the wafers are fine too, of course, but I like to use real bread because it seems more real. The wafers sort of make me think of this sort of like set-apart religious special thing that's somehow different from actual life. But actual bread, like we might eat on another day, or actual wine, or actual grape juice. Do you ever drink just 100% grape juice? Like, even as an adult, it tastes so good. It's really good. Yum. I had a cousin that taught me that a few years ago, and I was like, yeah, these kids know what's up. This is excellent. I really like it. Don't get that juicy juice 10% garbage. Get, like, the real 100%. Lively. So we have these actual things, and we take these things, and we say, this is my body given for you, and this is my blood shed for you. And we do this because Jesus told us to. Jesus got his disciples together, and he had this meal, and he said, do this for the remembrance of me. Do this, eat this bread, drink this wine, and remember me, and know who I am, and know that you are a part of this promise that God has made in me. And it's in our bodies. The bread and the wine, we actually eat them, we actually take them in, they're part of us. And they make us, they help us remember that we are part of what God is doing. That we are part of Jesus, that we are beloved children of God, just like Jesus says, in the resurrection, but also here in this life today. God is the God of the living. We are living right now. How can we live? How can this story of God's love for us in Jesus, how can it change how we live now? Can it open our eyes? Can it brighten the world around us? Can it empower us to do things we never thought were possible? How can we really live? In the love that God has for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.